to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
If you're drowning and I throw you a life jacket, would you grab it?
Yes.
Good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns.
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know that.
That's it. I'm done.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm always Mr. Matt Weber, S&P Futures, 1975 this morning. As we are, we're not exactly sure what we're doing, but all we know is we're going up every day. And every time there's a down morning, at least now, you got to be a buyer because some news comes out, somebody might have a vaccine, and we don't know if anybody's going to take it. We don't know if anybody's forced to take it. We don't know anything, but we're all we know is that every day somebody's got money in their checking account based on the Fed, and a lot of it's making it into the market, and this will stay like this really until that stops happening, and then we're not sure what happens. Frank, how are you?
Good. I think the money going into the market from checking accounts is not from personal checking accounts.
It has to go through your checking account to get to the market from the Fed.
Okay.
Just so, you know,
I'm doing well this weekend. It was nice having a 70 degree, 60 degree night for a change and a cool evening.
The air conditioner got a rest, as my aunt used to say.
Boy, didn't it, though.
Yeah. Pretty interesting stuff. I mean, out of all the years, Manny and I were talking about on the way in, I'm going to say every year you get like, how many really, really nice days? We just had one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, we get like four left somewhere along the line, maybe this fall. So,
except there will be probably be no college football, I'm starting to think.
Oh, it'll be, no, I don't think it'll be anything. I think then you're going to hear the, what do you call it? You know, we're going to play the fall season in the spring and some story about that, and that won't work either.
Oh, no, you can't have the. I remember when guys played USFL and then NFL. Tom Thayer, for example,
yep,
played like 28 games in a year. And he's been very vocal that you can't ask kids to play that many games in that short a time period.
No, but he did it. I think he maybe he got some help.
Those were the days, weren't they?
Yeah. I actually saw him when he was playing for the USFL down in Arizona. We were down there for spring training. And these monster dudes come in, and there's some guys bigger than this, and we're sitting there having some cocktails, and they came over, and they were already sort of lit up, and one guy had to be like 6'9". He was a tackle, and Tommy was at his peak of his size, and he was a big man, and when they wasn't that tall, but boy, oh boy, I mean, just a big guy, and he's probably 40 pounds heavier at least than he is now, maybe 50.
Oh, at least.
Yeah, and they were interesting characters, to say the least. He and this guy, Carl Lorich, some weirdo, something like, and he was like in his 30s, and he was just, you know, his USFL was like his last, what did Tom Berger say, one more year in the sun? They were the Arizona Wranglers, that's where he played. And so he says, we're playing Chicago in like a few weeks. Give me your number. I'll give you a buzz. We come to town. You come to the game and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay. Sure enough, evidently right after I left for the floor one morning, it's before people had cell phones, he's paging me up at first stop. I had no idea it was him. They wanted to go right from the game to some bars in Cicero because the plane was leaving at 6 and they didn't even have a hotel room. So I go right to the bar. I'm like, thank God I missed that phone call. I can only imagine where that night might have ended up. Because I had no plane.
Oh, God, you remember the Crystal in Cicero?
I remember. I've seen the place. I've never been in it.
I went in it once with a former classmate of a friend of ours, Jack McBride. I think he went to the same elementary school, maybe even.
I never went there. He did, but he was a star quarterback, St. John the Baptist.
And his greatest regret is that he went to Michigan instead of Notre Dame.
Yeah, he kind of fell out. I mean, he was. Bo decided he wanted to go to running quarterback, and Jack was a drop back guy. I think he's still either till recently or maybe still does own a couple of Catholic League records, but he probably doesn't. Can you play high school football as a freshman, Matty? I don't know. I don't think you can. Can you?
You definitely can.
You can.
Yeah, yes. He did.
You can.
No, high school.
He played high school basketball as a freshman.
Okay.
It's rare, but you can. Yeah, I've seen it. Unless some rules have changed very recently.
Well, when I went, there was a freshman team. I mean,
there's a freshman team, there's a sophomore team, there's a JV team, and there's a varsity team. But if you're a great player, you'll play as a freshman or a sophomore.
I know you couldn't basketball. I guess I didn't know in football, so that's why I asked.
But it's rare that a freshman is developed enough to play varsity football. It's very rare.
Yeah, I would think. God, you're like 16. You're not even 16, are you?
No, you're either 14 or 15.
Yeah, it's a little young to be playing.
But the one time I went to Crystal, Mike Royko was there at 5 o'clock in the morning.
he used to hang out at Billy Goats most of the time.
I think he hung out everywhere.
Had some bars up in Milwaukee Avenue he liked, too, from his childhood. His character. Brilliant, brilliant man, though. But all guys that have that kind of talent all kind of have the other side to them, don't they? I mean, it's
the dark side.
Yeah, it's always kind of weird. But anyway, Frank, we were going back and forth this weekend. We got NASDAQ up 89. We got not only in the market, but in the COVID situation and what's happening. And I'll tell you what is I know it's their intention, and if they get away with it, I guess I'm going to be the first one to pat them on the back. But the Fed is really pouring money on top of all the ills in the economy. I mean, I was talking to some people from I won't say the name of the place, but one of the largest liquor distributors here in Chicago, and they're absolutely convinced that, you know, they're up to like 30% of all restaurants are out. They're just not coming back. And you see places now that still aren't even open. There's no way. They're too small. They don't have the outside place. And they put four tables in there. You're not helping anybody.
Kincaid's is one of them across the street from us.
Really?
Yeah, they've ascended. I mean, I think they're going to attempt to come back, but they haven't reopened. They have no outdoor space. And
it's a little bit next door.
Yeah, but it's like you can fit like two tables out there.
Yeah, two maybe.
Yeah, and so that obviously wasn't worth it for them. And then they stopped doing carryout after a while for food, because they would get a lot of, you know, chicken wings or something like that. And I guess that wasn't enough either. So they're just closed indefinitely. And I still think they plan to reopen, but not until it's back to 100%.
Yeah, I know, Frank, you and I have a disagreement on some of this stuff, but I think one thing we do agree on. I think, I'll lob it out there, is I was watching, actually watched the news last night of all things, and the films of this absurdity in Florida. What does everybody do when they're young? They go to a party, they have sex, and they go get a test the next morning, like if it's a, you know, a gonorrhea test or something? The lines of people waiting in line to get these tests. And then you don't get your results for like 5 days. Then what? Do you go out the next weekend and you get a line again? Or what do you do? I mean, to me, I don't see what those tests are telling anybody. There's no sampling to them. And the young people, half of them, they're not even sick. So they're going there to find out if they have it, even though they're not sick, most of them. I mean, a lion's share of them. And, you know, to me, it seems like a bizarre world. They had some doctor on there talking about how important it is for young people to get tested because they don't even know they're sick. And I'm thinking, what are we doing here, Frank? I mean, the thing is just bizarre to me. I don't really have
what we're saying is a total lack of leadership and scientific direction. And when I mean scientific direction, we can start with epidemiology, and then we move on to care. Now, one thing we have seen and is very positive is the care, treatment of COVID has improved immensely.
Yep.
And we're seeing that in lower death rates. I mean, at the beginning, it was just a crapshoot. Well, shit, geez, maybe this will work or maybe that'll work. You know, let's try some swimming pool chlorine. You know, but things have worked, and people are developing the art of medicine and addition to the science of the treatment. So,
well, the whole ventilator fiasco coming out of China, you know, put everybody on ventilators and they all die. I mean, it's God. And then they tried that in Europe and it didn't work out so good in Milan. Yeah, we still tried it here for a while. I mean, it's
because we didn't have anything else.
Well, it was like bleeding people, but I'm just kind of curious. I mean, it's some. And then I listened pretty dramatically all last week to all the educators, and I was reading stuff this weekend. I'm like, you know what? I mean, I sent you that. It wasn't snippy towards you. It was snippy toward them because I've been listening to them, and I would never be snippy to you. I'm so tired of people who have money in the game giving their opinions, and then right after that, I'm driving. Where the hell is I? I'm driving down to Audrey's, and I'm listening to News Radio 78, and they got these two marches on the South Side for allegedly Black Lives Matter or whatever. And one of them was the community's got to get involved. They got to figure out what they're doing with the police, blah blah blah. And we've got to move forward. We've got to get some programs, and we've got to, some of it's internal, some of it's help miles, whatever. The other one, they got some guy, I think it was a guy, chirping like a blithering idiot about how we need to defund the police and give the money to organizations like his. now that's special. At least the guy's out with it. At least he's not, at least he was admitting it, Let's see. Stop giving money to charity and give it to PTI. Oh, okay. I guess that'll help. You wonder.
Speaking of which, giving money to PPI, and I'm not saying you got it, but I know some people that have LLCs that got pretty good chunks in that PPP. And I can't believe I was told. It was like, no.
Frank, did you got our email? We sent out the stack. I know we do so much back and forth. Who sent us that, Manny? The list of...
I got that list.
Yeah.
But I'm talking the people that got, 100 to 500,000.
Well, they're on the list.
Haven't made more than 25,000 a year for the past 10 years with their LLCs.
Doesn't matter whether you... more ignorant on this than I should be, but it doesn't matter how much you made. It's what your payroll was. Right? So, you figured out your average payroll. I think I'm right on this. Your average payroll for, I think it was 2018. Or you could use 18 or 19. When this thing started, it was 5 months ago, so nobody had their tax return in for, you'd use your average payroll, I believe 18. Maybe it was 19. And,
it was 18. It had to have been.
And then you took 2.5 months worth. Because we're supposed to be giving firms enough to pay people for half of April, May, and June. That's how this.
So if you made $25,000 for the year, but paid yourself $20,000 in 2.5 months, you get to multiply that by.
No. You take the average of the 12 months. So if you had a $500,000 payroll last year, okay,
right,
you divide that by 12, then multiply it by 2.5. So it was essentially the 10 weeks of the second half of April, May, and June. So what the government said, and there was some logic to it, so this thing's going to be over basically in 60 days. We don't want you laying people off, so we'll cover you until the end of June when we think there's light at the end of the tunnel, is really what. And if you paid it all out in payroll like we want you to, or 75% of it, then we'll forgive it, is what the deal was. Now, but what they didn't expect is the thing to be nowhere near anywhere decent in most places, or at least people pushing the thing off, even though it is better in most places. And it's all of a sudden people got laid off, on July 3rd, which is what's happening all over the place. So, but I mean, just the enormity, I know we have listeners outside of the state of Illinois, but if you're in the state of Illinois, the enormity of this, the list we're talking about, Maddie, I don't know if we ever tweeted it out, but they list everybody, and it's not per dollar, but there's 5 to 10 million, was it 2.5 to 5, 1 to 2.5? Anyway, anybody, if you're under 150, you're not listed. And I'll tell you why. Because there's 2,700 pages of 10 names on a page. So that's 27,000 places they got over 150. Which is, and then the funny part is, Frank, I get a lot of emails from people saying, this is outrageous. And I want to have Dr. Johnson, Dr. Blade on one day. The phenomenon, and I remember this from being on the CBOE board, people are way more pissed off at their peers that they think are cheating than they are about people they can't touch. It's like, we care if the market maker over there, snarfed it, a teeny on a five lot, but there's nothing we can do about Goldman Sachs front running a, Fed order. So we don't even worry.
Bernie Madoff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Bernie was one of ours. He was somewhat of a peer. That's why people hated him. He just was a peer that was a little more aggressive, shall we say. But I guess where I'm heading with this is, I've had people actually, email and call and say, Chief, just see these bleeps, and they're like the scavenger service of whatever, Elmwood Park or someplace. Yeah, those guys worked every day. The garbage was always picked up. Well, what are they doing getting this money? I'm not agreeing with this, but what people don't get, a lot of people don't get, and again, it's not something I agree with, is this has nothing to do with whether or not it was worth it or not. It was some thought behind it. Like I said, help people out for 10 weeks. But really, it was just helicopter money, Frank. And the interesting part is if you email people back, people, our listeners are really good people, obviously. If you email them back and say, this whole program was, what, $500 billion, which to you and me sure seems like a lot of scratch, right? I'm finally coming to grips somewhat with what $1 billion is, because some people have that, and certainly not me or you, but that's only one-sixth of all the money that these guys have pissed away. And I will use that term specifically. So there's five-sixths other of the money that went, if any of it went anywhere, I'd rather it go to Maddie Weber's garbage company than I would the other five-sixths, I don't even know who these people are, and they're getting like hundreds of billions, right?
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, but I look at it just the other way. I'd rather have, Mort's hot dog stand get some, at least I know who Mort is, right? But so I
sent you something on mortgage payments.
Yeah,
and
I read
rental
that.
Payments. Did you read that?
Yes.
That's the scariest thing I've read so far.
Yeah, I haven't brought it up here this morning, but it has to do with, well, I spotted a little bit of that. The highest number in the country right now, allegedly from CNBC, is Nevada. They're call it 10%. They're like 9.999, because nobody's been decimated more than the hotel and casino industry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how we started the show, Frank. I'm saying this huge salve of morphine we've put over this broken bone sticking out of the economy's leg. That's probably a fairly good analogy, actually. It feels good. It feels good right now, but as soon as the morphine wears off and you look at your leg, it ain't gonna look so hot. I mean, that's basically they poured money into the system, so these retail sales numbers and stuff like that. Some people are actually going out and spending because they're making more at home than they were working. But we all know this is going to end, Frank, at some point. The $600
July 25th.
Yeah. And, I don't see how they somehow think that they're going to make it to the election, one side or the other. But I don't know. I mean, everybody's got some massive egos. Everybody does. And plus there's your finger gets in the biggest cookie jar on earth, the U.S. government. Why would anybody win this election? I don't see October, November as being, November, December, even the CPI numbers have got to start popping out at, 2% a month or something.
We have earnings start this week.
Now, what are those even, in this day and age, explain to me if you can, Lucy, why the hell, Maddie, I know you're not an expert on more earnings, and I'm at a point where I'm not either. Tell me what the earnings of a bank now even mean. What are they making dough for? They're processing stuff for the federal government. They're running this money through places. They now have people where the money goes into your account for all these firms. You're not paying anybody any interest on it. And you're turning around. If somebody gets $10 million in their bank account, well, they're not spending it tomorrow. So the bank gets a turnaround. Now it's extra reserves and runs that out to the Fed overnight and gets paid, even if it's 0.75% or 0.5%. That's real money. I mean, I don't even know what banks are doing right now. They're doing credit cards, which is an abomination.
They have debit cards with absurd service fees.
Yeah.
So a lot of the people getting unemployment are getting debit cards. The ones in Illinois, that bank doesn't even have an ATM in Illinois. So you're going to spend $350 or $450 or more, depending on where you live, to make a withdrawal.
That's just, well, that's what I'm saying. What do bank earnings even mean now? They're not put money in the, put money in the passbook at 3%, make a loan to Frank's, you know, a plumbing company at 6.5%, and the difference is, you know, the building and the bank, the people, the Little League team, and all the other stuff. We're so far beyond that, Frank. We're not even, I don't even know if banks making money is good or bad. I mean, all they are is a leech on people's cash. They don't seem like, other than the big people, if, you know, if somebody wants to buy somebody else, you know, I mean,
it's always fun to pull you back from the dark side, Dirk.
Yeah, I mean,
Tom.
Well, you know, you see things that happen. I mean, first of all, I will never, ever predict a market top today or a bottom today. But I will say this, the stuff that I'm seeing now, to me, it's the absolute dark side, or light side, I guess, because it's up, of 1982 or 1981, Frank. And when you get a company like, I'm looking right out the window at the post office building. We're downtown in the Loop here. Well, actually, we're slightly out of the Loop. We're 400 Wells at PTI. I look out at this post office building, and I see people going there every morning to work. Manny and I drive by, and there's 100 people in line to get in there. The biggest, by far, anchor tenant in there was Uber. Now, they are not moving in. They lost how many billion dollars, like, the last couple quarters? They're not moving in. Then they're renegotiating somewhere between not moving in now, delaying, renegotiating, and just plain stiffing them. They're somewhere on that slippery slope, right? We don't know exactly where. And all of a sudden, last week, they're going to buy some company for a couple of billion dollars of their stock. They've never made a dime. And yet the stock, this is what used to happen in 2000, right?
Oh, yes.
I tell you what, if we...
And the smartest person of all was Mark Cuban, who cashed out.
Yep. Well, either cash out, or you take your, I won't say worthless, because, I mean, obviously it's trading there, securities, and you buy some company for your stock. And then maybe that place is actually worth something, right? It's bizarre world. I told you, I'll keep this brief. I told you a story about the, one of the nastiest guys I think I've ever met. The guy I met at the, imagine this. I don't know how I found myself in there. This bar in New York. I went out to see, Pete and the guys at Fast Money, and I had a couple clients to see, so I'm staying in this hotel right by Times Square. Nice place. And, of course, Pete and those guys, we've all had dinner afterward at this really good Mexican place. And then they had all take the train, like the 7 o'clock home to the wifey's. So there I am at like 8 o'clock in New York by myself. I go, what do I do? So I walk in the hotel, and sure enough, there's a bar. So I wander in, I sit down, and I'm sitting next to this lady, and of course she starts talking to me. And she was one of these, I don't think I've ever been to a New York play. I assume you have. But she was a master at going in on Monday or Tuesday and getting the discount tickets for the matinee. Because she was retired You know, she couldn't afford the Friday night tickets, but evidently, when's the matinee day? Is it Wednesday? Now there's no days, but wasn't Wednesday the matinee day where anybody could go, wanted to go cheaper or something?
That's right.
Anyway, so she would get these tickets, and there's this big, huge guy, and I'm looking at him, I'm going, that guy's a New York cop. He had to be retired. Big, big dude, gruff. He starts talking about he's got some places in El Salvador. He's got this, he's building houses down there, and finally he's talking about how much money he had. And the lady, of course, you know, women are a little more direct sometimes. She goes, by the way, you've been talking about how much money you got. How the hell did you make all your dough, you big, basically, buffoon? Turns out the guy did some printing work when he was off. He got hurt on the police force, so he's off for a while. Buddy has a company, or an internet company. He does the printing work for the guy, so he takes stock. Stock's worth, like, you know, 300ths of a cent or something. All of a sudden, 10th of a cent, all of a sudden a cent. He's got like a million shares of this stuff. It gets to, he didn't have a million. He had like a half a million. Anyway, it gets to like $5. And finally his restrictions lifted. And somehow or another, he flies to Florida, gets the restriction lifted. And you couldn't do this today. He brings the paper stock to his broker, and they sell it. It gets like something like $15 million out of the place.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. And 3 months later, his stock's worthless. The guy's in jail. So he comes out of jail, and he calls him up, and he says, "Hey, I need a start. How about lending me $50,000? Guess what the guy says?
No.
No, screw you.
We know people like that on the floor
Oh, yeah.
Who back people
Yeah.
and help them get up and running, especially after October of 87, who then went belly up themselves, and the people they helped would not help them out. The
Oh, yeah, I know.
Exact same story.
It is.
And I know who those people are.
I know. It's an interesting shot in human nature. And it seems like the people who have all the dough all of a sudden change their spots, like a leopard's not supposed to be able to. But anyway, so Frank, what do you think? When's we can't be going to go up 100 points a day in the NASDAQ. When's the top? What day? Pick it.
Oh, no. No way. If we can't pick it together, it can't be picked. One thing I would look at is start being aware of earnings. Who's announcing, when they're announcing. And there's a number of websites out there that'll give it to you.
Well, can you strip away the recent government largesse from what the earnings would have been? That's the number I want, and I don't think I'm going to get it.
No. It's all, they talk about doing it with mirrors. That's
yeah.
what we're seeing. It's magic.
It would just be a song like that. Anyway, Frank, thank you very much. Talk to you
okay.
next week. SP Futures up 22. NASDAQ Futures up 91. Like I said, 100 a day. We'll be right back. Mr. John Flanagan.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello. Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with their choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, don't pay Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. He's Mr. Weber on the board. We'll have Mr. John Flanagan in a second. S&P futures up 22. NASDAQ futures up 93. Dow futures up 202. What could possibly be wrong? Another Apple up $4. I mean, some of these companies are up virtually at, you know, $700, $800 billion in like the last 5 or 6 weeks. I mean, very, very strange stuff. I guess I could try and explain it, but nobody wants to listen to the Fed speak. But DAX up 165, 1.3%. FTSE up 78, 1.3%. Cancaran up 72, 1.4%. So this is worldwide. Nikkei up 493, that's 2.2%. Shanghai up 59, 1.8%. Hang Seng up 44.2%. The latest round of this really comes down to the Chinese government saying that they're going to increase the amount of loans for people to buy stock last week. That's what started like all this. Every time China does that, then of course later they get too far and they pull it back. 10-year yield 0.65. Treasuries aren't buying it. Bund minus 0.43. Japan plus 0.03. We've got oil down 63 cents, 39.92. Brent down 61 cents, 42.63. Natural gas 1.77. $1.77. It's down 3 cents. RBOB 125. Gold up 11.50. 18.13. We got silver up 48 cents. Wow. 1954, I wish I'd have bought some silver, extra silver. I do not. I did not. I'm not happy. Get a load of this. Copper up 5 cents, 295. This is up from 228 in a couple of months, or 238. Inflation is now all over the place. I'm almost looking at the corn and soybeans here pretty soon. Not yet. Anyway, Matty, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Off to a good start on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. No issues coming in on the Dan Ryan, I-57, or the Bishop Ford. Stevenson and Eisenhower looking good, as are the Northside expressways. Lakeshore Drive is quiet in both directions. Suburban tollways are all quiet, too. Very easy start to a Monday morning. Off the expressways, we do have an issue on the south side. 71st Street on the eastbound side between State and Wabash is blocked due to a gas leak. So the eastbound 71st Street traffic is sharing the westbound lanes, and that's causing a bit of a slowdown. And then out in the western suburbs near Naperville, there's a crash at Ogden Avenue at Yockley Avenue. That happened earlier this morning. But everything else is looking good out there. Weather today, lots of sunshine, mild temperatures, low humidity, a high of just 79. Going to be a beautiful day today. Right now it's clear and 68 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, not so lucky. Another hot, steamy day today. Partly cloudy skies with a high of 112. And right now it's already hot, 97 degrees and clear in Phoenix. Chief.
John, how are you?
Tom, I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing okay. I have lots of questions this morning. I think before we can get any answers, at least got to get the right questions that nobody else seems to want to ask. But we're at a point now in some of these areas. I mean, I know we're not supposed to believe in global warming, right? I don't. Our buddy Fari, who is always interesting, but one thing Fari does know, since he's from Iran, I'm going to say he knows the Middle East more than, say, we do, because he's been there. Matt, have you ever been there? I have not. Matt, have you ever been to Qatar or any of those places?
No.
Anxious to go?
No.
Me neither. I have no interest. But I did have to sit there. Was it 4 hours, Lawrence of Arabia? My mother made me, I don't know, whatever possessed, my mother didn't usually bring me to the movies, but she thought that was such a historical work that she brought me to, either I was like age 12, I said, Mom, it was 3.5 hours of blood and sand. And anyway, I know it was a great movie, but it just was kind of lost on me, because it was. I know people have been living in those kinds of, that heat for a long time. But Fari says you can get to, 125 or so out in the desert. And if, I guess if you're used to it, and camels can hang in there and so forth. But what do you say, Manny, once you get to 130 or something, nobody can do it. Camels, people. There's a spot at which you just can't live there. And, you wonder, I've been in Arizona in the summertime, and, I played handball outside in the morning when it was just running up towards 100. At least you had some decent time in the morning before 10 o'clock or before 9:30. You could actually go out and jog, ride bikes, and so forth, because it would get down to, 75, 80 at night most of the time. And you were okay, but I can't imagine doing anything if it's 120, John. I mean, I'm saying the hottest I ever saw out there was 110, and I thought it can't get any worse. I mean, if you're wearing shorts and you touch the metal seatbelt with your behind or your thigh, all of a sudden you had a burn. And you couldn't touch the steering wheel until the air conditioning was on for like 3 minutes. I mean, how do you even, when you start getting over 120, where are you even going with this?
Life is just so difficult. I've been in heat like that in Phoenix and Sacramento a couple times, and you're just not worth anything. Everything, getting out of the house into a car is difficult. Getting out of the car is difficult. Driving isn't any picnic either, just because you're just tense. It really seems life-threatening, everything you do, and I just could never be comfortable living in places with sustained temperatures like that. You need air conditioning, not just because it makes life comfortable, but it makes life possible. So,
yeah, I mean, I was looking as you saw the going backs and forth, all weekend on the COVID thing, and I wonder, Jen, what because you're English kind of guy, and Maddie's Mister are really the expert on the news media. And I'm just curious, as much as people think that, there's all this news all over the place, most of the I'll say, more heated discussions regarding the COVID is what I have with people, has really nothing to do with policy. We don't even get there. It's them believing numbers that people are continually to put out that are inaccurate. I mean, it really is, it's our version of the big lie, which you could never expect, you never figure a government could get away with when there's an internet and when there's a million people throwing facts they don't know anything about all over the place. And yet there are. I mean, the biggest discussion, especially, well, just happened to be a couple of ladies, or a couple of guys there too, when I said, What possesses you to believe that 85,000 number in China? I've had two people argue with me vociferously that China has handled this epidemic better than we have. So let me get this straight. I'm thinking the number of deaths are probably 2 million over there. They've lost, 3 million phone numbers? They've had...
Oh. They heard like 21 million or some outrageous number. You close cell phone accounts.
And maybe you had crematorium has moved into a state working 24. I mean, but the number is clearly not 85. I mean, there's no way they have less cases than New York, for God's sake. I mean, I'm like, what do you believe that for? And yet, if you listen to the newses, the regular newses, the Channel 5, Channel 7, on 3 nights of the week, you'll hear that number still. Now, how is it that that number continues to be bandied about?
Well, I have felt for some time that the mainstream media is so beholden to China, and if not necessarily overtly controlled, but certainly sympathetic and coerced, I think, to paint China in the best possible light, that you can't find very many news outlets that are going to challenge any of this received wisdom about what these numbers actually are. And the most positive gloss is always put on them, and that China handled this better than anybody else, and they didn't conceal information or numbers or whatever. And I just find it's so unanimous in the press, and the only place that really seems to challenge that narrative is something like the Epoch Times, you know, the Falun Gong news outlet, which, if you think that that's the only one that seems to be singing a different tune, then that must be the only one not controlled by China. So I have a tough time watching the news or reading the newspapers or anything when I see that there's at least tacit kind of the tacit understanding that we don't challenge China, we don't go hard on them, we don't criticize them, we don't challenge them, we don't take them on about this, and that has been the case for a long time, and it now is just it's more obvious to me. But I always had a suspicion that we, you know, let China slide on a lot of stuff.
But when you say
too interested in getting their, you know, businesses behind us and us behind them, and that we didn't want to, you know, dirty the waters. So,
but I mean, I'm looking right here. I just Googled this. You know, I could Google once in a while. China mainland cases. This is as of July 13th at 6:42 a.m. So, like today, right? 83,602. They've added 8 cases today. Death 4,600. I mean, really? You know, I don't. But I think that there's a source for this that must be somewhat official. It must be coming out of China. And I can't figure out. I'm trying to get from you guys. Is this on a part of our media? Is it a sin of commission or of omission? They don't know any better to dig out of the official numbers. They don't want that editorial responsibility to be the one station that says, you know, confirmed cases like 5 million or something, or whatever the hell it probably is. They don't want to break out. There's no reward to breaking out. They don't have the personnel. I was talking to, was it Audrey yesterday, or somebody said, well, what percentage of real reporters in the world or in the U.S. have been laid off in the last 5 years? And who's left? And Channel 9 doesn't have somebody capable of challenging these numbers and saying Channel 9 number is, you know, 4.5 million or something, or Channel 5. They just roll with it. But the fact is, people believe it. They don't, I mean, they actually, they're in tune with believing their favorite people, and I like the people too. I mean, I really like it when Michelle Scott, you know, has the good weather report, you know, just saying. Not sure why that is, but anyway. But I mean, you're just not. At the end of the day, you come home from work. Well, people don't go to work anymore. But you come home from work, take care of the kids, help people with homework. You turn on the news. You're just not set up to say the first number that slaps you in the face that number's BS. What the hell? I mean, you're just it is the big lie is alive and well, Jim. But I honestly don't believe. I mean, and Maddie, you can kick me for it. I don't believe that Channel 5 goes on, and I'm not about them specifically, goes on at 10 o'clock with the intention of lying to you. And yet, this is the number they have, and they just roll with it. And yet, the number is so ridiculously ridiculous, I mean, that it should be a red flag for a four-year-old. I don't know where I'm going with it. I mean, I guess I'm asking, why are we still dealing with this?
Well, the news media has become, you know, tentacles of a much bigger arm of some kind of disinformation engine. If you just flip channels locally between the network news, either at, you know, 5:30 or 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night, I can't tell you. I mean, I don't keep tabs on this, and I don't know anybody who does. But you can see the exact same sequencing of news stories from top to bottom. You can see the pretty much the exact same headlines, the teasers, you know, leading into the stories, pretty much the same news footage. I don't see any kind of independence or experimentation going on when it comes to presenting the news. So the news is not really what I would consider news. It's been digested and packaged in a way that it doesn't matter who you read or where you go for it. You're going to get some sort of a sanitized, brutalized account of something, and there is no incentive anymore to challenging that, to really doing investigative work on the way the media reports. the media will not report how it's being investigated or challenged. So it's become I call it a disinformation campaign because it really
is. Jan, is it
withholding news? It's about peddling stuff that isn't news.
But I mean, I think you know, this is one of the major bitches I have with the people on the right. Okay, sorry, because you're kind of there on some of this stuff. The right immediately jumps to there must be some, you know, man behind the curtain someplace. It's not Hillary anymore. It's going to be Soros. I'm not accusing you of that necessarily, but I mean, I just wonder if it's just we're not in the news business anymore. We're just going to pick the stuff up from other places. We're going to have good looking people on TV, male and female, and we're just going to roll with it. We're going to have out of an hour news, we're going to have 25 minutes of commercials. I don't think there's any. I don't know anybody on Channel 7 or Channel 5 or Channel 2. I mean, I could remember when Walter Jacobson gave those big investigative reports like on whatever night it was of the week. People would watch Channel 2 just to get his stuff. I mean, I'm talking about a long time ago when Walter was young. I mean, I don't know anybody like that. Do you? I mean, there might be a restaurant critic that everybody wants to watch or something like that.
And people who did make a living out of that, like Pam Zekman on WBBM, she's been laid off.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
People who did any kind of challenging or grunt work or poking around in places they shouldn't be, there isn't much cachet in doing that anymore. I don't think news media outlets are interested in supporting it. They've got too much invested in the kind of operation they run. They don't want to make enemies like that. And that was never really, I mean, there was always a concern of a news outlet. You didn't want to infuriate your advertisers. You didn't want to infuriate your owners, but you did have an obligation to the public to report things that maybe were uncomfortable for people, but that needed to be told.
See, I don't see
any desire on the part of news outlets anymore to do that.
Jan, I think they're doing exactly what I'm doing. They're going on the internet and they're picking up a number. They get a load of this. Here's a good one. Now explain to me this. If you got a 5-year-old and you explain this to him, how can you put this on the page? Global cases confirmed 12 million. Now we know that in our country we've confirmed probably what, 10% of the people that have had it?
If that.
All right, so I got a load of this. Now explain to me how these numbers add up. Confirmed 12 million 5, deaths 560,000, recovered 6.8 million. My first thought is, wait a minute, that leaves a few people out. just saying. there's 5 million. We don't know if they're dead or alive. Where are they? They're someplace. If they're not dead, I got to believe they're recovered in some form, aren't they? How could those numbers not add up? At least the China numbers add up.
Well, and by choosing the terminology that the media does, when they talk about new cases, which is now the hot number in Florida, but new cases, I think, simply translates to positive test results. It doesn't mean that any of these people are sick or that they're symptomatic or that they're hospitalized or anything. It doesn't tell you anything like that. It just tells you these are positive outcomes in some testing situation. So they aren't what I would call new cases, but that's the number you get, and of course it's a frightening number, and it's higher now than it ever was. But we should be rejoicing. This indicates to me that herd immunity might be actually a reality. If you get that many people testing positive, that means a lot of people.
Well, yeah, when somebody comes on, the party line is, oh my God, 40,000 young people just tested positive in Phoenix. And what are we going to do? And I'm thinking, in 2 weeks, there's another 40,000 we don't have to worry about.
Right.
Right? What is wrong with my analysis? I'm curious, and I don't know the answer, and you guys have helped some, but I think it's just omission. I don't think it's commission, Jen, and on most of these local stations and something. I don't think they're there to pick up some of these numbers. They have a couple of human interest stories to talk about the shootings in Chicago. They have a beautiful weather girl and have a guy everybody likes for sports. And I think that's their mission now. They think if anybody wants hard news, goes somewhere else, goes on the internet or goes someplace. I don't know where they even go, but they're not the spot for that anymore. And they know their business a lot better than I do. They must be right. I mean, CNBC, they don't want us on there. They have a few guys that are, I mean, really bright. I mean, it's not, I'm talking about they have some guests, but if they start to get too detailed, they can't wait to get them off. They get the hook. But by and large, I mean, they want, you know, four or five bright people talking about a subject, never really getting too deep, and go to commercial, come back, and four or five people talking about the same subject. They never actually want to take one to the finish line, right, at all. But somewhere you have to wonder. I mean, there was with all the stuff Carl sends back and forth. Now Carl's very, I mean, Carl backs up everything he says pretty much with stats, and so does Kevin. I don't think we shirk from that. I don't think neither of us do the same research those two guys do. But little stuff like one of the first things Fauci said when this thing came here the first time is that this is a novo virus or something. Means it's nothing like that has been here at all. And he said there is no embedded immunity anybody has. Now here we are, I'm going to say 7 months later, because I think it was here in November, maybe even October, despite what the news say. It turns out, Jan, from everything that I read from a serious study and a lot of that I've gotten from Carl and Kevin, that there clearly is some immunity of some kind here. That if 100 people are in a room and you give them all a shot of this stuff, that 40 of them don't get it. Because they have these embedded T cells from something they got before. That nobody can put their finger on what the something is, whether it's a bad cold, whether it was a weak strain of this thing that came by 2 years ago. God only knows. But the fact is, there is an embedded immunity. And why is it? And I don't blame the man. I mean, as a trader, every morning, Jan, I would walk in and look at my position and I go, God, whose is that? That position sucks, basically. And I sent a bunch of orders down to change it to get it to where I liked it, and then I get on a trade. And I never, you know, needed to slap myself upside the head. That's just what happens when you make decisions on the run when you're trading on the floor. The next morning you look at it and go, I don't think that one looks so hot, and you fix it. Now, why is it 7 months later is Fauci or the people around him or the news media or his people that advise him, why can't he come out and say, when I made this speech in October or November, or the hell it was, it appears I was mistaken, and there is, for some reason, which we're working really hard to find out, there's about a 40% embedded immunity from T cells, and we're trying to find out what it's from. The fact is, it's here. It's a good thing. Why can't anybody just say that, Jen? I mean, this is not an indictment.
For the same reason that somebody like Fauci can't, you know, come out and say, when I told people back in March that there's no need to wear masks, I wasn't speaking as a scientist. I was speaking as somebody interested in the market stream of masks, so that we wouldn't create a run on them and have people who needed them deprived of them. He won't come out, nor will anybody ask him to take on what he said then. So that we, you know, really the news outlets pretend that stuff was never said or that it didn't have any effect on people's behavior. But clearly when you have the point person for this telling people you don't have to wear masks, they're not necessary, when he knew otherwise. This is what gets me.
See, I don't think
you're not called on the carpet for giving misleading information or just downright incorrect information and not taking a hit for it. I mean, in any other business, if you did something like that and what you knew and when you knew it becomes critical, as it seems to have been here, and you still have your job and you're still given credibility and you still have a platform to preach from, no wonder people don't buy the media, because the media protects these people who clearly have admitted they lied with impunity.
Well,
and they were reckless about what results they created because of their lies.
See, I don't necessarily...
They're still up there, you know, giving orders and interpreting all this stuff for us, and nobody calls them on it. So,
well, I
get why that happens, but that isn't sins of omission to me. They're protecting people.
Okay, but Fauci, also on that one, when he was speaking, and I understand, it's not, boy, I tell you what, if somebody does a show, it's not what you say, it's what people hear, right? And he came out, I mean, and I know the part about the masks, he didn't want people intercepting the ones in the hospital. Now, those are specific surgical-grade masks, right? And the N95s, what they are. I'm not, you know, mask expert. Now those things, if you could mandate that everybody, you know, wear one of those things, all fitted up, well, first of all, you couldn't jog in one of those things. You know, you probably couldn't even walk outside one of those things if it's hot, because you can't breathe for damn, you know. Okay, so then there's the next part down. There's a part that your dentist nurse wears. and she throws it out after every person. Okay, now, but then the media, the loons on the left, have taken this to the next thing. The stagecoach mask or the White Sox one your daughter knitted last night, Jen, they're useless. They are useless. They've been washed in 3 months. I mean, there's more COVID germs on the damn thing than are in the air. If they were near anybody, that doesn't mean any mask is better than that. All of a sudden, you're doing somebody favors. No, you're not. I mean, like anything else, the truth is in the middle. I mean, the one I have. I mean, I have ones that are. I wear them inside. I'm not a big fan of them, but I wear them where I'm supposed to. And it's one that I can wash and one that I can change. I know if I put the thing on my big honking nose in April and I'm still using the same mask, I'm not doing anybody any good. I mean, come on.
No, and I'll actually give Fauci the benefit of the doubt. I think
I do too. On that one, I will.
When he told people in March that nobody needs to be walking around wearing a mask, he was absolutely right.
Yeah,
and I'm convinced that none of this mask wearing has done a GD thing.
No,
for preventing the disease or you know improving our likelihood of beating it if we get it. Nothing like that at all. But you would think at some point when you give information out like that, I have to think that maybe he was speaking as a scientist, but now he can't admit that he was, and now you have to adopt the idea that masks are what's you know keeping us safe. Well, that's ridiculous too.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I definitely wear one if I visit my mom in a nursing home, but it would be a brand new, clean one, and I'd toss it the minute I walked out. That's what you're supposed to do, right?
Right. No, that's if we buy that masks are necessary at all, yes. Absolutely.
SP Futures.
I wonder if they really are.
Yeah, I wonder if they are either.
We had kind of to take Fauci at his word then. I think he was being more honest than he realized. And we've been suckered into wearing these ridiculous
clothes. Well, you get beaten up by it. And SP Futures up 22, NASDAQ Futures up 104. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, owner of Home Source Realty and frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks radio show. If you're thinking about purchasing real estate, this summer could be a good time to shop around. Whether you're a novice or seasoned investor, low interest rates and good inventory make adding bricks and mortar investment to your portfolio an interesting possibility. Many a great fortune has begun with the purchase of property. Call me today for your personal investment consultation, and I would be happy to get you started on your path to prosperity. You can reach me at AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com or call me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe. He's Mr. Matt Weber on the board. Mr. John Flanagan is with us. S&P futures up 22. NASDAQ futures up 102. Dow futures up like 200. We've got gold up. We've got oil's the only thing that's not up. We got silver way up. I'm thinking of my Suburban value's up. What do you think, Manny?
That'd be okay.
Now, you have the nice cars. You and Whiff have the nice Jeep. And
yeah,
the nice,
10 and 11-year-old cars.
By the way, your lovely bride was getting some serious heat yesterday, and it turned out not to be her. Just saying.
What are you talking about?
We left to go to the our buddies over at Marty Anthony's, and the front door light goes. That can't be Jill, is it? This lady was trying to park, blonde hair in a dark car, was trying to parallel park in front of the house. We watched her go back and forth about 10 times. Not getting closer to the curb, but she had about 8 feet on each side. And finally, I go, no, that's not Jill. Jill,
no.
No way. Jill knows what she's doing. Lady finally gets out. She was like, she just was through a prize fight. She was all like, oh, my God. Anyway, I was saying, did you, John, did you check these? I'm just looking at these numbers from Florida. I knew a guy when I first went on the trading floor. He was older than me. He used to like heading out on Friday and Saturday nights before he was married, and so we stay landing anywhere. Is that a nice way to put it? Well, when he was successful at this, he had a doctorate. He just going. This is before AIDS, before any of this stuff. He would just go to the doctor on Monday and get a shot of penicillin. Just in case. You don't want to worry about it. So, okay. Not exactly by style, but I saw these cars lined up for miles in Florida yesterday. These young people in there with the air conditioning going to get these tests. What are they doing, Jen? We're talking about it takes 5 days to get it back. So if you get back a negative by Friday, does that mean you can go out and party next weekend and you're in line again next Sunday? I mean, what are we doing here? I mean, all of a sudden now everybody can't wait to get. But it's not like they're telling you right now to like not go home or not go to work or not go see anybody. You get the notice just in time to go out the next Saturday night. I mean, what are we doing?
Right, like you're cleared for takeoff.
Yeah.
And you can party for another week, and then if remorse sets in, you go back and get tested again. I see a cycle here developing.
Yeah, but
I don't know if these numbers really mean anything in terms of a population. It's more about habit or behavior, and how many multiple testings are we looking at too? People who tested negative and now are concerned and go back and get tested again. So I'm kind of mystified, first of all, why people are doing this, but even more so on trying to interpret data like that when that's what people are using the test for, some kind of green light.
Well, nobody's interpreting what they're interpreting it is. They're throwing the numbers out there as a way for ratings, just to try and get people paranoid is what they're doing, I think. But, the numbers we keep dancing around, I probably should explain where we're coming with this and where I think there's a on the show, even Frank, one from the left a little bit, is it appears from all the research we're doing, or is being done around us that we're trying to compile, the numbers we're talking about is that it appears there's somehow or another, the big guy upstairs smiled down at us or something. There appears to be about a 45%, maybe even a little higher, embedded immunity. And this is borne out by the cruise ships that, not everybody got it. The couple aircraft carriers that had a problem, not everybody got it. The numbers seem to come down there to slightly less than half the population has some immunity, and they've done blood tests on a lot of these people. There's some residual T cells around. Now, what a T cell does is, again, I'm no germ guy. What a T-cell does is it's something you've had before, and when your body sees it, it immediately recognizes it and starts to fight it faster than it normally would if it saw it for the first time. It either can be a specific antibody relating to COVID-19 or something else, or it could be something for another disease that's close enough to it that causes your body to recognize the COVID quicker. It could be who knows? It could have been a real bad cold that was similar to this thing. It could have, God knows. We don't know. That's the point. But now, if you take the people who do get it and are over it and now have the antibodies, in most states, I'm going to say Florida might be different, but all these people going for their tests, the amount of people that appear to have had it by studies is 10 times more than the people that are reported. So in every state where you've got the numbers flying down, like New York, like Connecticut, like Illinois, like a few other places, even now Elkhart, this last week or two, what happens is the minute the number of the people who have had it gets to 15 or 20% of the population, if you add that to the 45 that mysteriously don't seem to have a problem with it in the first place, that puts you above 62. And 62 is the number at which your R value drops to where there's less and less people for you to give it to where every person, even if you have it, you can't really give it to more than one person because over half the people you see are immune to it at that point. Doesn't mean it will be 2 years or 3 years from now, but at least at that point. And that's what you see. And you can have Pritzker, you can have Lurie, you can have Cuomo, you can have all these people taking credit for all this stuff by sending people home and they did it and blah, blah, blah. That's all BS. The fact is, when a certain number of people got it, the numbers started to turn down. And in those places that had the biggest outbreaks, whether you sent them home or didn't, and it's happening all around the world. Every place where those numbers getting above 60 to 65, all of a sudden you're seeing all this stand down. Italy, where they had the worst spot in Milan, hardly anybody. Connecticut, did Connecticut have like not even one death over the weekend, John, or something like that? I mean, that's what's happening. So when you look to see in Phoenix or in Florida or those places, as soon as you get to this number, my guess is we're probably a week or two away, it will turn down again, just like it has in Elkhart. And those are the numbers we seem to be dealing with, right, Jan? So it doesn't
right.
mean...
I wish there were a more aggressive attempt to interpret these numbers the right. way you're interpreting them now, because we should all be taking a lot of comfort from them, I think. This indicates that we've turned a big corner on it, and instead it's being presented as if there's some lingering threat that's...
Well, there are. I mean, maybe it's not 100%. So now where I'm clumsily getting to... What I just said is not going to get you ratings on CNBC.
Right.
And we know that. But now we come down to the question of what about schools? What about businesses? What about going to work on the train? All right, the numbers, let's say our best guess, it's 65. It's not 100. So then you have people bleeding like sheep on TV talking about the teachers. And Frank sends me this huge thing over the weekend about not being safe in schools and teachers wanting this and that. So I sent it back, not to be snippy to Frank. I said, I want anybody who stands to be paid when the places are not open to not be part of the discussion. Is that just me being a P word or something?
No.
I mean,
well, you got teachers' unions saying that yeah. you know, their brothers and sisters aren't going to come back to work until there's an effective vaccine. You know, not just a vaccine, which may be pie in the sky, but an effective vaccine.
Yeah.
Well, we might be looking at not having teachers then for the next couple generations.
But they all want their check.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Well, the head of the National Federation of Teachers came out and said they shouldn't come back until we double the amount of schools, because that way we can have everybody 6 feet apart in classrooms. And what exactly do we do with those buildings if all of a sudden this disease goes away? We're going to close them all up, and what are we going to do with them? Make whorehouses on them or what?
The Sun-Times has a piece today by David Roeder, you know, who writes on real estate trends, and he has a report he's talking about today that he says overall commercial leasing in downtown Chicago is down 75%. In the second quarter. That number probably includes, you know, spaces for which a lease has not been renewed and subtenants have not been renewed. So it might just mean number of leases or lease agreements. So it doesn't mean that 75% of the properties are not being leased, but it does mean that there's not a lot of leasing going on. And people are hesitant. Do they need more space because they'll have to have social distancing? Will they need less space because people will be working from home? And I'm sure universities are in the same boat. Schools will be in the same boat. And they don't know which way to go, and they're kind of taking a wait-and-see attitude. So I think it's kind of crucial right now what kind of data we get and how that data is packaged, because people are waiting for persuasive data to tell them what to do. And it's clear that they don't know what to do, and they're afraid to do nothing, but they're afraid to do the wrong thing more. So,
well, John, there has to be somebody somewhere, whoever that somebody is in today's world, that says, I'm thinking, and Kevin's thinking, and Carl's thinking, and maybe some listeners are believing me because we do send this stuff out, that the number in areas like Chicago, New York that are dropping, it's above 62. Because that's what the model tells you, the real model tells you has to happen. That's the reason why the most contagious thing anybody's ever come across is measles. It's airborne, it's brutal. The average person with measles infects 15 other people, which is like no other disease. And if somebody walked across the border right now, they'd have to come from outside, I would think, and starts breathing on airplanes and breathing in PTI's office or anything, who's left to infect, Jen? Either we all had it or we all got the vaccine.
Right.
Maybe they might find one person whose mother or father didn't want them to have the vaccine. Maybe somewhere along the line you can infect one other person, but who's that guy going to infect? I mean, but somebody somewhere has to say to people, the answer is not zero. When I feel that this number gets to 70%, guess what? The schools are opening. Kids are going to sit where they normally sit. And teachers are going to be there. And I'm not forcing you to be a teacher. If you want to retire, retire. We'll find somebody else. I'm not asking you to go. I'm not telling you have to go. I'm saying if you want to get paid, here's the job. It's like saying, you know, I want a job as a lifeguard, but I refuse to get wet. Well, okay. That's interesting.
Take that job description somewhere else.
Yeah, take that job description somewhere else. Or you're going to be a high wire guy for Commonwealth Edison. But by the way, my limit's a 6-foot ladder. Well, okay, you're sort of at the wrong place. I mean, there's nobody anywhere that's ever going to be able to guarantee anybody that you can't get COVID, you can't get the flu, you can't get a cold by going into a school. But there needs to be a rational number, and I'm not saying today. I'm saying we want that number to be 75 or 70 or 80. Somebody pick a friggin' number. And then when that day happens, be it November, the September 1st, October 1st, November 1st, we're going back. Right? This idea that, oh God, if there's any chance whatsoever that this 5-year-old, I have a friend who has a real good friend. She's had a baby. Nobody can tell her in today's world of medicine. She totally locked herself down when she was pregnant, because nobody could say, oh, by the way, if you get it, it's a problem for the baby. Well, we can't say it isn't. Well, you can't say it isn't for a lot of things, right? We can't say it isn't. So she locked in. Now she doesn't know if she can have people over to see the little girl. She's cute. I saw pictures of her. She doesn't know if she can go out now. When can she go out? I mean, we don't even have anybody that says, oh, no, anybody under the age of 5, you don't have a problem with it. Nobody's ever going to say, under no circumstances can this thing affect your... You can't say that. I can walk out today and get polio someplace, Jan. The chance is one in a bazillion, but nobody can tell me there's no chance at all. And all I'm saying is for somebody to make a rational decision and everybody just say, you know what? It makes sense. Let's run with it. And let the chip fall where they may. And if somebody gets it, we're going to take care of them as best they can. And by the way, we're getting a lot better than that. And we're going to make sure we keep it out of nursing homes. But also, we're going to figure out a way for nursing home people to see their family before they all become suicidal. Isn't this the goal? Is what I just said, why can't anybody just say that?
I don't know. They don't seem to get any kind of platform in which they can feel safe saying it. That's for sure.
What's so dangerous about it? When it reaches a point that it makes sense, we do it.
All right, well, there has to be, and there certainly, to me, is a whole core of businesses and politicians that want this lockdown to continue. They don't want business as usual. There's too many opportunities here for messing with people or, you know, changing results They're not interested in the return to normal. That's boring. You know, let's fiddle with this some more. Let's play with it. Let's starve some more businesses out of existence. There's a perverse corner of the world that is wants more of this lockdown stuff. So,
well, Amazon surely does.
Of course, Costco and Walmart and big box places certainly. Why wouldn't they? I mean, this is a way of just gobbling up the competition.
Jen, is there? I sense. You know, I don't know. I was not here during World War II, although people accused me of it. You're the same age, so you know you weren't either. So, but there's a sense here. I was an inquisitive kid. I remember those guys, the people that were my father's age and so forth. And I always liked hanging around with adults because you learn something. I remember listening to my uncles when everybody else wouldn't listen to people older than them. There's some. It's almost like an escapist mentality here, and I can't put my finger on it. Maybe you can agree or not agree. I am not, hopefully not naive enough to think that, the guy from Buffalo or Blue Island, whatever the hell he was, that made PT boat engines, didn't find a way to skewer 5% or 10% out of the public, even though I think, those guys are pretty good at trying to rein that in. Didn't mean it didn't happen. But by and large, even if you did, you spent your money in Blue Island. You didn't go buy a big house. If you went to a bar, you went to the bar down the block and you hung around with your neighbors. Not that everybody did. There was always rich people in Hyde Park and places. But Hyde Park, New York, not Chicago. But it seems now, Jen, that the numbers are so big. That if you're one of these numbers on the list and you got, 15, 20 million bucks from the government and you somehow did the bare bones on paying people, now you just shut the place down and you're just taking the 15 or 20 mil and you're gone. And I was stunned by the amount of people on the list that have no retained jobs. How do you do that? They fired everybody on June 30th?
Yeah. So amazing, isn't it?
But it's almost like the numbers are so big now that the guy who built the PT boat engines, the minute the war was over, he says, screw you guys, I'm going to Monaco and taking my dough. It's almost like there's an escapist, like, they, nobody wants to live. I mean, I'll tell you this. She is, I can't say too many nice things about her because she's my girlfriend, but, Audrey is, she's in the real estate business. She's very good at it. She's on the show and whether people, think she is or isn't, that's up to them, but she's very good at it, but she's also been a trader and other things. So she picks up on all the stuff we're talking about. I mean, she listens to the show and everything. First thing she says yesterday is, my last three people that have called me looking for me to find them a place, but people from Chicago looking to get the hell out of here. And she goes, what is the biggest thing they need? And I said, is this like, I'm going to be like the Coneheads and say, let's see the big one. Remember that? I said, they want a home office. She goes, no. And I couldn't get, she goes, they want a yard. Nobody wants to live the people, they're telling her, I've lived in this high-rise downtown. I couldn't go to work. I'm at home. I don't even have a friggin' balcony. Get me a place with a porch or a yard or something. It's driving me nuts. The parks are closed. I want out of here. She's a small sample, but this is in the last week, Jen, three people.
Well, and of course, the counterforce to that is all these movements in Minneapolis and rumblings in Chicago, too, to ban single-family zoning. So that you don't have a yard, you don't even have a house. You have a cube in the sky somewhere, or a duplex or whatever, and you lived crammed on top of somebody else. But that's going to be the new normal, and that's what we want more of. And to want something other than that, you're going to have to go pretty far out to get it. I absolutely see what Audrey's hearing, because this is what people have always wanted. This is kind of the point of having a career and a family, so that you have a place where you can watch them grow up and enjoy themselves and get out and roll in the grass.
I'm talking about these people don't have any kids. They want it for themselves.
It's just to do it yourself.
Yeah.
This is what people pretty much did without during the lockdown. You really were, you couldn't go out, you couldn't walk in the park, you couldn't do anything that you would do in any kind of a normal situation. And people always will want that. And I think if you have the money and you know what your needs are, you should be entitled to have that. But there's a whole counterforce to that, saying that nobody should have that.
And all right, so
this is like Marxism gone haywire before our eyes. When you got that being you know, that's something we have to cancel. We got to get rid of that. And you who want that need to be punished.
All right, so wait a second. These people, I'm not saying people, there aren't some losers out there that want that. But if you look at the math, we're not going to have any immigration, all right? We don't want that anymore. We're not going to have people coming here for college where they might want to stay. We don't want that anymore. Okay, well, it seems to me the numbers on top of that is the, how can I say this politically correctly? I can't. The white people better start appreciating their other, or significant other more, because they're not having enough babies to sustain the place, much less all have to not have single-family homes. Where are these people going to come from? Our birth rate is negative if you take out immigration.
Right.
So why all of a sudden has everybody got to live in a high-rise?
Well, that's a very good question. It's counterintuitive to me that it's either necessary or desirable, but it seems to be pushed on both counts.
What percentage of the city right now would you guess... We'll ask Mr. Weber. You know, what percentage of the city right now do you think is empty lots, Manny? Or boarded up homes?
I would have no idea.
It's got to be 20%, Jen.
I was going to say 30.
Well, you know better than me. You're the title attorney.
Like between 20 and 30 is reasonable. And it's increasing. I mean, it is decreasing.
So why do we have to get rid of single-family homes? We've got nothing but room.
Good point. I'm with you on that.
Take the right.
We have plenty of room for development. And we've got infrastructure in all these streets that have no houses on them. There's still sewers and water mains and gas lines and electric lines there. So it's like you have to, you know, go out and do capital improvements like you bought a farm or something and convert it into residential space. There's plenty of room for a single family house and just vacant land that used to have single family houses on
it. When was the last time you took the Rock Island? Take the Rock Island. And on your right is the Dan Ryan Expressway. On the left, other than ITT, there's some huge healthcare facility down there. This is where the Robert Taylor homes used to be. I'm thinking you make it to 47th, 51st before you see really your first house. There's got to be room for, 5,000 houses?
Oh, easily.
Between there and the lakefront? Easily. I mean, yet we need to build a high. We need to build 5 flats. Why? Does somebody see what I'm not seeing? I don't see it. All I see is overgrown grass. What am I missing? I don't think I'd miss a building. I'm not that old. Just saying. You know, where do these people come up with this stuff?
I don't. I mean, it's social engineering of a really pernicious and kind of lazy kind, because it doesn't really take account of what people have always been.
Oh, Manhattan,
you convert them into something they should be. And anytime you got government or politicians pushing that, you better get out of their line of fire, because they're looking for people like you. Any normal person is going to say, what the blazes is this all about?
If I could get some of these people out of the grave that I learned from, my mother, my grandmother, they would all say, this is what happens when people have nothing better to do. And if somebody was actually working all day, you wouldn't be running around trying to figure out if some guy was a sinner 500 years ago and pull him out of history books. Who cares? I never assumed they weren't a sinner. One of my first classes at Notre Dame freshman year was about all these Spanish conquerors that came over here. I mean, it's not like I don't agree with what some of these people are doing with this stuff, but you know, often those guys took a bath, Manny?
How often?
You took it twice. On your wedding day morning and when you died, they washed the body.
Wow.
The rest of the time, you know, you'd hop in the fresh water, you'd hop in a river, and you anoint yourself with stuff that smelled different than you, basically. I mean, it wasn't like you wouldn't think of playing golf and then going in and hugging your girlfriend or wife without hitting the shower first. Those guys, they didn't think that way, man.
Right.
I'm just saying. I mean, these guys, they came over here, they gave people these diseases, we're not talking about good people, for God's sake. But yet, the Native Americans that were here, they didn't treat people, other Native Americans, so hot either if you weren't in the same. It wasn't like the 1300s, 1400s, all the way through 1800s, early 1900s, weren't pretty darn brilliant or brutal just about anywhere. I mean, the black slave trade was horrendous. But guess where everybody learned the ropes? From the white slave trade. I mean, people were not all that good to people, were they, Jan, for like forever? Yeah. Even now we got people that
still
don't. And still aren't. I mean, it's not, I mean, this is not new. I mean, it's all horrible, and we're getting a hell of a lot better, and we got a long way to go. I mean,
but you can tell for sure that when people start blaming, you know, somebody else's ancestors for what's wrong today, then you know that they're trying to divert attention from the people today who are really responsible for what apparently is wrong. And instead of educating people to see that maybe it's your alderman, it's your mayor, it's your president, it's your representatives that are really holding you back, and not the neighbors' ancestors from, you know, six generations ago that are, you know, the problem. You shouldn't be tearing down statues of them. You should be voting some of these clowns out of office.
Well,
to me, it's a great system when you can tell people, you know, it's like, pay no attention to that man on the corner there, and, you know, here's the enemy. Don't look any closer than, you know, that for the enemy. Go back into history and destroy artwork and destroy cemeteries, and then you'll feel good, really, you know, but you won't be any better off. You'll just feel good. So,
well, they did the same thing as Steve Goodman. They threw his ashes at home plate and they dug up home plate. Same thing. Just
poor Steve.
But yeah, it is funny, especially people on the right, John, I'm giving you a little grief here this morning, is they're hard on China, and yet I'll say, but everything you own is from China, and oh, by the way, all we did was offload slave labor and pollution, right? But as long as it's over there and not here, we don't care.
Not in my backyard.
Not in my, yeah, I don't know, those Chinese slaves, I don't care about those guys. I mean, come on. Anyway, John, thank you very much. SP Futures up 20, NASDAQ Futures up 90. Painted a nice look at the world here. We can be with David Adelman. We'll find some way to make some money in the market, at least. By the way, I'm long all this stuff today, so it's a good day for me. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right
now. Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Alley, Mr. Matt Weber. Second line, Mr. David Ailman. Many of you shocked that the with all these vaccines around, like there's hundreds of them supposedly, out of the blue, Pfizer and BioNTech vaccines get the fast-track status. The big companies get the ones, right? Are you always shocked that it happens that way?
Yes. By the way, there will not be a vaccine. I mean, I think we both agree on that.
There might be a
I think there's only been,
shock.
What, like 10 or 11 vaccines in the history of mankind?
Well, see now, you've gotten biased by this because you listen to me. You're right, but there could be a flu shot.
Could be a flu shot, of course. Yeah, but that's not.
That's not what people are talking about.
That's not a cure.
But that's all.
It doesn't even cure the flu.
But that's what they're developing.
Correct.
Right. I mean, they're calling it a vaccine, even though it's not. SP futures up 20, NASDAQ futures up 94. Yet another piece of misinformation. Dow futures up 186. But we're not done with this, man. I got a problem for you and David to solve for me. Over in Europe, up again. DAX up 144, 1.1%. FTSE, get a load of this. Up 67, 1.1%. CAC around up 65, 1.3%. So another leader. Nikkei up 493, 2.2%. Shanghai up 59, 1.8%. It's amazing what government money does to a market. Not just here, but in China as well. Hang Seng up 44. They're the laggard, only 0.2%. Bonds, 0.65. They can't go anywhere. Bund, minus 0.42. Japan staying above zero at minus, 0.03. Oil, the only thing not up today. Down 50 cents, 40.05. Brent down 51 cents, 42.73. Natural gas down 3 cents, 177. RBOB, 125. Gold, however, to the moon. And also gold up 1090, 1812. This is the one you got to watch. It's silver, percentage-wise, is going way better than gold. We'll have to ask David about that. I'll say up 50 cents to 1955. And copper, remember when I said when it starts getting near $3, that means for the Chinese people who watch China, not Chinese people, they like to see China taking off. Well, copper is up to 294. Never thought I'd see that this soon, but I'm seeing it. Matty, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
Coming up on 37 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Our only area of concern right now is on the outbound Dan Ryan between 47th and Garfield, due to it being closed for a police investigation. Apparently a shooting happened earlier.
Oh, come on, it couldn't happen.
It must have been very recently, yeah. But traffic is being forced off at 47th. The slip ramp from the express to the locals at 47th is also blocked due to this shooting investigation. Traffic is backed up to the Stevenson and growing now on the outbound Ryan. So keep that in mind. I would avoid that if you're heading down south this morning. No issues on I-57 or the Bishop Ford at this hour. Stevenson looking okay. Same for the Eisenhower. Edens and Kennedy have been quiet all morning. Lakeshore Drive looks good in both directions. Weather today, it's going to be another beautiful day today. Sunshine, low humidity, a high of 79. Right now it's clear and 69 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny and hot today with a high of 112. Right now it's clear and 97. Chief.
I'm looking at the weekend totals here. Those three ladies got shot on the south side. One died, right? And was that Sunday morning? 1100 in Lawndale. Five people shot, or whatever. So we had another one of our. But I have a question for you and David. Now, with all the math we've been kicking around regarding the COVID, Let's say, for instance, somebody we both know, Maddie, had the disease and now is offering, I won't say her plasma, but her plasma to the highest bidder. Now, how much would we pay? Now, take me, for instance. I'm not 25. I'm not exactly fighting weight. Now, I either have a 45% chance of having this T-cell immunity, but nobody knows, and you can't test for it, right? I have some thought that because I've hung around with you and some slimy bars the last few years, whatever's been out there, I probably had. So, but take that off. Now, I haven't had it yet, the COVID. What should I pay for that? What would be my bid for the plasma?
Do we know that it even works?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know that we know that.
Sure works. It's been working for 100 years. What we're talking about is if somebody has had it, you don't take their blood. You take the plasma from the blood. The antibodies remain in the plasma. When you inject it with the plasma, the antibodies not only work for a little while on their own, they goose your body, for lack of a better term, into making some antibodies on its own. So if the COVID was to land on you, I'm not saying you don't get it at all, but if you do, it's essentially a flu shot, Betty. It has been. They were doing it in 1918 with that flu. So it's not the same as taking a shot and have no chance at all of getting it ever. It'll be less symptoms or none, depending on how much your body responds to the antibodies. Now, I would pay more than you would, right? Because you're 37.
But I don't think I would pay for it.
Well, okay, and then there you go. But I'm just saying, now, David, he's 104. He'd pay way more than me. You know, so. But, I mean, the question is, what would we pay for this, David? $100? $500?
No idea. But I would like to address some of your early comments before I got in. As far as Pfizer and that biotech company, yeah, I don't think the conspiracy theory works there, and it's really for one name, Scott Gottlieb. I mean, I think he is either the leading epidemiologist or second leading to Fauci. He's been studying it for decades, and he's prominent, and he works really hard with many, many labs. He's on the board of directors of Pfizer and of Illumina, two very prominent, you know, healthcare companies. And so I don't think this is, you know, a conspiracy. And he works with other companies that he's not on the board of directors. And I think he's an incredible person. And if there's somebody who really has a chance to be a leading figure toward an answer, he's it. Second thing is, I disagree with you that there won't be a vaccine. Will there be a prophylactic vaccine that prevents 100% of COVID? No, but you know, the efficacy and prophylactic aspect might be 95% or 98%. I don't think it'll be one vaccine from what I've read. It'll probably be a cocktail of vaccines, depending on demographics, age group, ethnicity, and everything else. But when you, and the reason is, you know, Maddie's argument, while I respect it, dozen or so, you know, vaccines historically, that does not preclude this one from being one. And again, I use the term one loosely. I think there'll be multiples along with boosters. You've never had, to my knowledge, 110 different institutions, corporations, educational facilities worldwide working on it like this with this kind of funding. Third thing, silver. You mentioned silver. Since I'm rounding everything up, September front month silver, huge resistance, 1898 to 1912, six daily tops and well-formed accumulation formations. And as long as you maintain close over 1898, looks like 21.25.
David, why is the gap between silver, spot silver, and the silver future that much higher than the ETF? I mean, I know it has to be something, but it's like $1.10. It seems like it's a lot.
Yeah, that I honestly don't know. I know the ETF actually stores silver, so I don't know if it's something, you know, in transportation, carrying costs, interest. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if there's actually a supply issue. I don't know the answer to that.
Well, same thing with the GLD.
It's built into the basis, like, you know, anything between, you know, corn and corn future, cattle and cattle future. It's, you know, it's a basis issue. What is the actual effects? You know, I don't know if there's a basis difference between London, you know, storage in New York, or, you know, wherever else silver is stored. I don't know the answer.
Well, GLD, I mean, the gold's 1800, and GLD is essentially 170, which would be 1700. So there's 100 hours difference there too.
Right. I don't know the answer.
The reason why I keep talking about the vaccine, David, and this, I'm on this little crusade here against misinformation, and Maddie's talking about the nobody, as far as I know of. Nobody is looking at this, what you and I would call a vaccine. It's not a mumps vaccine, one shot and you're good for the rest of your life. They're working with the antibodies to try and inject you with antibodies so you're ready for it when you get it. That is not my definition of a vaccine. That's a flu shot. That's what guys.
No, that, I agree with that, but I disagree with the fact. I think AstraZeneca is, and I think Novartis is. I think European research labs, I think Oxford University is. I think they're looking at it as, you know, not antibodies. Regeneron is antibodies and many, many others. But I think they're, at least in test tubes, animals, and even in phase one trials, I think they are looking at vaccine as a prophylactic. Not 100% cure, but maybe 95.
If the numbers are, at the end of the day, all ages, even if you pull the nursing home component out of it, you know, you should be on to this number here, David, because the research was done, a lot of it, by your alma mater in Indiana. If it turns out that the death numbers are 0.5%, okay, with the, you know, a moderate flu being 0.1%, a bad flu being, you know, 0.2, a little over 0.2%. So it's 2.5 times, 3 times worse than a bad flu. And you start, whatever it is, say it's my mind one first, it's the antibody one. How good does the shot, whatever the shot is, have to be? How universal does it have to be to drop that 0.5 down to 0.2? It's not going to drop it to zero. Nothing does.
So
how good does that have to be? And the other thing is, plus, if you, in order to drop it from 0.5 to 0.2, you have to assume that nobody reacts to the vaccine badly. Because there was a guy the other day, and they pay people to do this. I didn't know this. I guess I should have known. David, every day I find out something I didn't know that I should have known. When they test these vaccines early on, they pay people to take the vaccine. Not to see if it, I don't know if you knew this, Maddie, like, say a COVID vaccine, or whatever it is, the flu shot, whatever you want to call it. A guy like you who's healthy, what they'll do is they'll pay you, I don't know what they want to pay you, say a grand. Because the first thing they want to do is how much they can give somebody before it starts to hurt them. Not even if it works. Like, I mean, at this stage, I mean, obviously they care if it works, but don't really care. So you don't have COVID, they're going to give you a shot of this stuff. And if you're okay, in a week, they're going to give you a shot of double the dose. And they're going to get to the point where you say, hey, I was in the can all day with that last one. I don't want to do that. They reach the point where they know they can't give any more than that without causing side effects. And people get paid to do this. I never crossed my mind. But now that I think of it, I guess it makes sense. You ever anybody who did that, Manny or David? I don't.
Yeah, and I think again, I'm no expert. I'm not an epidemiologist, but I've read up big time for weeks and even months on this, and I don't think it's. Let's presume, for sake of argument, that I'm right, that there will be a prophylactic vaccine. It won't be a vaccine. This what makes this one be this. COVID so difficult, besides the fact that it's novel, it's new, they've not really seen the strain like this before, there have been other COVIDs, but not like this, is it seems to affect different age groups far differently, and different ethnicities, and you know, certainly the preconditions are different. It seems to me, and this is, you know, on my limited knowledge, but a lot of reading, that it's not going to be like a mumps vaccine or something like
that. That's what I'm saying.
You know, cholera or whatever. It'll be different vaccines for different age groups, ethnicities, you know, et cetera. Folks with different conditions will get different cocktails. There'll be different boosters, et cetera. So, and I bring that up, you know, because I don't think there will be a vaccine or one vaccine. There'll be multiples with different boosters according to who you are and what your preconditions are. And beyond that, that will directly, you know, go into the calculation of what you're talking about. That 0.5% or 0.7%, bringing it down to 0.2% or 0.3%, it will probably depend. Which cocktail, which booster, age group, which everything.
Or what you're talking about, before we shift the stack here real quick, is what David's trying to say, and it's very hard to say, is the COVID that comes back 2 years from now is not going to be the same. That's why flu shots change all the time. Well, I'm going to say mumps, measles, the things that Maddie's talking about are the exact same disease they were 100 years ago.
Yes, I agree.
All right, David, one of the ladies, not the same one who... I didn't say she's the same one who's trying to auction off her plasma. She was managing a lot of money for one of the places that I do subcontract work for, the Protected Index program. And last Tuesday, she said, I can't, the market goes up every day somewhere. I'm never going to get the memo like everybody thinks they are. And she manages the most aggressive parts of the portfolio, and she's done exceptionally well, by the way. She goes, you know what? What do you think, Chief, if I just get rid of 20% of this stuff like last Tuesday? I just don't feel comfortable here. I wouldn't put these positions on today. And I said, you know what? If you don't feel comfortable and you want to get out of 20% of it, do it. You're not going to be able to do it when everybody's heading for the exit the same amount. Now, here it is 4 days later and three of the four are serious up days. I guess I'm including today. We don't know what's going to end yet, but, anybody who's a trader, and she's been for 30 years too, we're always going to get out a bit early, David. But I don't know how much of that is a sin, to tell you the truth. I don't see this 100 points in NASDAQ every day and Apple gaining, you know, $40 billion in valuation per day. I mean, even though I'm more into this, it's not the stock going up, it's the dollar going down. This is still way over the top. And I don't know. I don't want to tell people to, I surely don't want to tell them to go short yet. But Tesla's gone up. How many, I think it's 200 hours of 1600, what, 6 months? You know, what are we doing here? And yet, now, when she comes in this week, she's probably going to want to get rid of another 20%. I can't tell her no, David, and I don't want to tell her. I'm mystified by this and how this is still doing this and how long. I don't think they're going to make it to the election doing this. I don't think it'll be 100 points a day for another 4 months.
Why am I laughing?
Yeah, I mean, what indications? I mean, if you went back to, I'll do history. If you went back to August of 1982, a year and a half after I thought for sure as a young trader, the market really had one way to go, was up. That Volcker had gone a little too far, and at one of these, is one day, the interest rates are going to tick down and stocks are going to take off. Now, the Dow was 800, or roughly. I still, to this day, have no idea why it happened on that day and not the week before or the week after. Now, what this time, we've had every catalyst on earth here that could possibly have happened. What my favorite, that you know, is going to be, probably not till after the election, a 2.5% CPI number 2 months in a row that just gets everybody, you know, their underwear totally crossed over. What do you mean? Why? I mean, 50 years from now, you and I won't be here, but they're going to look back and say, "Why this thing went up and up and up?" And all of a sudden, on this one day, what's going to cause that day? Now, I don't. And how do you look out for it?
It's a wonderful question.
Yeah.
And it's very complex. I don't know that it'll be one thing. I do think that if Biden gets elected, there will have to be some correction just on anticipation of change in tax policy and, possibly capital gains taxes, et cetera, et cetera. I think that's one thing. Inflation, I don't know that they'll tell us the truth about that, but, you know, if gold goes to 2100 like it looks like it's going to, or even 2500 or whatever, that's going to reflect inflation probably more than the numbers that we get, you know, from the government. I mean, that'll be another thing. Inflation will have to be, you know, calculated into to valuations. I think valuation is going to matter. And the old saying is, it matters when it matters. And you know, I just did some rough calculation. I mean, they're talking, you know, $120 to $130 for the S&P, you know, earnings this year. So let's just say, for sake of argument, you know, the market says, okay, it's COVID. You know, we shut down the economy for 3-4 months. We partially reopened. That didn't go so well. So we're going to ignore 2020 earnings. Let's go to 2021. So optimistically, you know, the guess is that it's going to go from 130 to 150 to 170. That's a big, big leap. Let's presume that that's correct. $160 for the S&P 500. Now you just take a multiple of 20. That's optimistic. 20 times 160 is 3,200. We're there.
Yeah,
we're there. I mean, we're there now. So if the market gives a nice multiple, a big economic recovery, ignores earnings for 2020, we've already factored all that stuff in. Can it overshoot by 10% and go to 3,500? It can, but at the same time, whatever the trigger that you're talking about or that I'm trying to hypothesize about, you know, for the possible 10% overshoot to the upside from where we are now, and that's really a leap of faith, what's downside? I don't know. At least 10, maybe 20. I don't know. And so how do you tell someone, you know, to get negative? My thought is you do the same thing that's been there. You just ride the trend. You want to be bullish, wait for 5, 6, 7% break in the NASDAQ. You want to be bearish, you sell the Russell on 5, 6% rallies as a hedge. I don't know what else there is to do.
Well, it's real hard for me to, when Tesla's up 600%, it's pretty hard for me to say that it might correct by 10%. I mean, come on.
Well, that's a different
thing. Yeah, it's a different.
I mean, that's a story stock. I mean, that's the same basically in a lot of ways as Netflix. I mean, you know, but I'm talking the general market, banks and financials, techs and healthcare.
Well, the general market's down, right?
Yeah, the general market is down. The average stock in the S&P through midweek of last week, I don't know what Friday's rally did it. Unweighted S&P's down 13%.
Well, what one of the things that you get both sides of the political argument. I mean, again, it's lonely in the middle. But I the Reagan tax cut, which of course everybody, they can't wait to be, you know, everybody loves Dutch. What can I tell you? They forget totally about the tax increase 6 months later that he had to put through because they're horrified what the first one did to the numbers. I don't see how Biden or Trump, they get back in, all of a sudden it's whatever the day is after the election. I don't care if you're a Republican or Democrat. And boy, I don't want my taxes going up. But I'll tell you what, anybody who doesn't think that there isn't going to be a move up on the taxes, I got a bridge for you, because we're talking, what are we going to be, $3 trillion in a hole this year? I mean, the idea that...
Trump's talking, I mean, you know... I forget the name of the senator who did the work on the first tax one. He's talking that if he's reelected, there's going to be a further tax cut. I don't know how they can finance all that debt.
I mean, I'm saying that. I mean, even we're talking about the party that 15 years ago was like the balanced budget. What do you call it, party? The Tea Party, for God's sake.
Right.
Well, okay. The other side's not working. The supply side, whatever they want to call it. Plus, what is anybody, this view of the world past stimulus, when all of a sudden it's laid bare how many people are out of work and how many businesses have closed and how many people are moving out of these buildings downtown? David, what are those numbers going to look like? We need a stimulus-aided number here and a stimulus-without number. I mean, if you take the 1,200 hours out of people's pocket and the 600 hours a week they're getting, what do these Home Depot numbers look like? Not the same.
Right. No, I agree.
But I have no way to estimate. Do you? Estimated.
No. And, oh, by the way, I neglected one thing. You said the ratio of silver to gold or whatever. Silver and copper, I mean, those are industrial metals, you know, by far. Not used a whole lot in jewelry or really as hedges against inflation. They're big gains versus gold, where they had always lagged behind even on their rallies. Shows to me that for whatever reason, rightfully, wrongfully, markets are anticipating or factoring in a big, rise.
Right, we only have 30 seconds, world, David. Big question. Is the what's happening in China and the market in copper, has anything to do with China doing better, or just has have them been doing lending more money?
I think in the case of copper, I think it has to do with a revival of their economy more than the money stimulus.
Well, that would be better. David, thank you very much.
Their stocks, I think something else. It's money.
Okay. Talk to you on Thursday, bud. SP Futures up 21. NASDAQ Futures 100 exactly. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
Hey, guys.
What's up, G?
Want to go to Tchotchke's? Get some coffee?
It's a little early.
I got to get out of here. I think I'm going to lose it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit hamzyanalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.